Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for October 9th, 2012. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be speaking with Eric Nessler, senior author of a paper that appears in the current issue of Science about how a neurotrophic factor influences the action of morphine on the brain. BDNF, or brain-derived neurotrophic factor, is a secreted ligand that promotes neural plasticity by stimulating the growth and survival of neurons. Neuroplasticity is the phenomenon by which neural pathways are altered by activity through that pathway or by environmental factors. Changes in the expression of BDNF have been implicated in neurodegenerative diseases and in mood and behavioral disorders. In the context of drug addiction, BDNF promotes neuroplasticity induced by stimulants like cocaine. In a new study published in the October 5th issue of Science, Nessler's group has identified an unexpected negative regulatory role for BDNF in modulating the neuroplasticity induced by morphine. Nessler spoke to me from the Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York City. Welcome, Dr. Nessler.
Thank you.
How do opiates and stimulants change neural pathways? Do opiates like morphine and stimulants like cocaine have similar effects on neural pathways?
The two classes of drugs are very different in terms of their chemical structures. They really have nothing in common. And akin to that, their initial targets in the brain are also very different. Cocaine binds to the dopamine transporter. Other stimulants have similar actions through the dopamine transporter, the net effect of which is to increase dopamine in the synapse. In contrast, all opiate drugs like morphine and any other opiate drug acts as an agonist at opioid receptors. So the initial actions are extremely different. Despite the fact that these drugs have very different initial effects, the different mechanisms do converge at the level of one nerve circuit in the brain to produce a very similar functional effect. And that is on this midbrain dopamine circuit, part of the reward pathway, where all rewarding signals, including cocaine and opiates, through different mechanisms, increase dopamine transmission to target regions of these dopamine-containing nerve cells. What we had shown previously, and other labs have done as well, is that cocaine and other stimulants seem to, over the long term, produce this feed-forward response where the brain becomes more sensitive to the stimulants, partly through a molecule called BDNF, this growth factor that tends to promote nerve plasticity in the brain. What we found in this paper, somewhat surprisingly, given the fact that opiates and cocaine do converge at producing the same effect on dopamine pathways, is that they produce the opposite effect on this modulatory protein called BDNF.
What parts of the brain are altered by using stimulants and opiates?
Probably many parts of the brain. Most of the field has focused on this dopamine reward circuit from midbrain dopamine neurons. There's a midbrain nucleus called the ventral tegmental area. Those dopamine cell bodies send axons to limbic emotional parts of the brain. A key target is the nucleus accumbens. And most of the field has focused on stimulant and opiate-induced changes in this ventral tegmental area to nucleus accumbens circuit, even though we know that both classes of drugs produce many changes far more broadly, for example, regions of frontal cortex, hippocampus, amygdala, and so on.
You mentioned that BDNF is involved in the feed-forward mechanism that makes neuronal circuits more sensitive to the effects of stimulants. How does it do that molecularly?
We're not entirely sure. There's a large literature, mostly in other brain areas, that has shown that BDNF seems to promote synaptic plasticity. So one of the possibilities is that BDNF acting at synapses in this target region of the dopamine cells called the nucleus accumbens promotes synaptic plasticity that in turn promotes the actions of cocaine. Moving a more detailed level in terms of signaling, we know a lot about how BDNF produces its effects on target nerve cells, which is pretty much the same across many types of nerve cells. BDNF binds to a receptor. It's called the TrkB receptor. It's a type of tyrosine kinase receptor. BDNF binds to TrkB, stimulates the kinase activity in this receptor, and then that triggers several downstream consequences. The downstream consequences are quite complicated. Several intracellular signaling pathways are activated. One major pathway is the RAS-RAF-ERK pathway. Another one is the PI3 kinase AKT pathway. And the third main downstream pathway from BDNF is phospholipase C gamma.
What sorts of morphological or molecular changes in neurons does BDNF trigger that changes neural circuits?
That's not really known. There's a lot of work in many different systems which has demonstrated a required role for BDNF in mediating certain types of plasticity. Those have involved experiments like knocking out BDNF or TrkB receptors in certain circuits and seeing the consequences. That's what we did in this paper as well. So we know that BDNF and TrkB are critical. But the downstream consequences through which BDNF produces this plasticity still remain largely unknown.
BDNF seems to function in a feed-forward mechanism in the context of cocaine addiction. And in this paper, you were looking at the effects of BDNF on morphine-induced changes in neural circuits.
We recently published a study with my colleague David Self, who's at UT Southwestern in Dallas, where we showed that cocaine activates BDNF signaling, BDNF made in these VTA dopamine neurons. That BDNF signals to the nucleus accumbens, where these neurons not only release dopamine, they also release BDNF. Dopamine mediates the immediate reward. BDNF modulates that with some plasticity. We showed a plasticity that promotes further reward. But we did an interesting experiment. We, for example, could knock out BDNF only from VTA and show that diminishes cocaine reward. If we knocked out the TrkB receptor from the VTA, it had no effect, so BDNF was not acting locally. If we knocked out TrkB receptor, however, from the nucleus accumbens, we blunted cocaine's reward, supporting that model I just outlined. In this new paper, we did the entirely parallel experiment, work done by Jawook Koo, a postdoc in my lab. We knocked out BDNF from the VTA, and instead of seeing an expected decrease in morphine reward, we saw an increase in morphine reward. We then knocked out TrkB from the VTA, and we saw the same increase. In contrast, we knocked out TrkB from the nucleus accumbens, and we had no effect. So the morphine is doing something very different to this circuit. First, the data show that the influence of BDNF on morphine reward is the opposite as with cocaine, and the site of action is different. In cocaine action, BDNF is working in the nucleus accumbens. With morphine, the active site of BDNF is the VTA itself. After chronic morphine administration, we show in this paper that BDNF expression is downregulated. We have other data to show, not put into this paper, that that's through an epigenetic mechanism where the BDNF gene is silenced within these VTA dopamine neurons as a consequence or in response to chronic morphine action. Lower levels of BDNF in these nerve cells lead to reduced BDNF autocrine regulation or self-regulation, so that there's less TrkB receptor activation on these VTA dopamine nerve cells, and that again leads to altered gene expression of potassium channels, leading to increased excitability of the neurons. This is probably quite complicated because we actually have evidence that there are three independent ways that reduced BDNF signaling enhances the excitability of VTA dopamine neurons, going back to your earlier question of the mechanism of BDNF-induced plasticity. Regulation of potassium channels is one example. Also, we know that downstream BDNF signaling cascades like AKT can regulate GABA-A receptors, which would further alter the excitability of these cells.
You found that BDNF not only had opposite effects in the context of cocaine administration and morphine administration, but that it also had a different site of action. It acted on a different part of the brain. But what about when animals are exposed to both cocaine and morphine?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. And not many people use both opiates and cocaine at the same time, but some do. And in fact, some do a lot. It's called speedballing, where people inject intravenously a mixture of heroin and cocaine. We actually did that experiment in this paper. just to see what the interactions of the drugs might be. And so whereas we found that morphine reduced BDNF expression in the VTA, cocaine tended not to have a dramatic effect on BDNF expression. And when we combined the two, it looked like cocaine might be blunting the ability of morphine to produce its own downregulation. So these were just teaser data to show that there may well be some interaction between these opposite acting drugs on the BDNF system, but a lot more work is needed to parse this specifics.
Given what we know now about BDNF, about the role of BDNF in mediating neuroplasticity induced by drug use such as cocaine or morphine, is BDNF or signaling pathways activated by BDNF viable targets for interfering with addiction pathways in humans?
Yes. I mean, we certainly believe that that's worth exploring, but it will not be easy. I think BDNF itself might be a particularly difficult target, or the TrkB receptor might be particularly difficult, mainly because what we just talked about, that cocaine and opiates have opposite effects on the pathway. BDNF, TrkB are involved in many types of actions in diverse nerve circuits. Giving a person a drug that activates TrkB or inhibits TrkB would likely have very complicated effects, including a lot of side effects. But the richness of the downstream cascades from these pathways is such that it may well be possible to identify protein components of these pathways that are enriched in a particular circuit and then target those region-specific proteins for medicinal purposes. And I do think that that becomes viable. And there's a lot of interest in developing drugs at these intracellular cascades for cancer and a variety of other illnesses, and it may well be possible to take advantage of some of that chemistry, again, skewing it towards subtypes of these molecules that are enriched in brain and enriched within this particular reward circuit in brain.
Dr. Nessler, thank you for speaking with me.
My pleasure.
That was Eric Nessler, senior author of a report published in the October 5th issue of Science. That paper by Koo and colleagues is titled, BDNF is a Negative Modulator of Morphine Action.
And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. The show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.